Hey, yo, welcome back to another episode of Put 30 on the Clock. This is Coach Phil, and as usual, we're going to get right to it. I wanted to talk about something that's really hurting a lot of our players, and it's your training. It is hurting you. In what way, though? What we're finding today is that far too many players have a lot of skill with the basketball, like making all these different moves and got all these different patterns and getting into all these shots, all these skills and whatnot, but not really knowing how to use them in the game. Right. And I'm not even talking about the few opportunities in the game to use them. When they actually get their opportunities, they don't know how to translate having all this skill because they got the skill. They got it. They don't really know how to use these skills in the game effectively because they were just taught how to do something. It's kind of like playing an instrument. If you have a piano in front of you and someone told you how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, right? And somebody told you how to play a song. Even if you learned a really good song, like a piece like Moonlight Sonata, if you really knew how to play something, that doesn't mean you know how to play the instrument. That just means you know how to play that song, right? If you're playing chess and you're using your queen to move to a piece that is exactly diagonal to a pawn, the queen having the most freedom of all the pieces on the board has just subjected herself to being taken out by the weakest part of the board because the user did not know what to do with all the skills they've acquired. It's like you would never put your queen next to a pawn for it to be taken. You just wouldn't do that. That is, unless you are, you know, chess master. I don't play chess like that, but I know basic understanding. You don't give up your queen for a pawn. You don't do that, right? For my chess players. Getting back to work. The issue is that training should not just be the accumulation of skill development, right? If it is, then that means there's a crazy amount of IQ responsibility that is now going to be heaped upon the coaches for whom these players play for. Now, do you want to do that? Right? Like if you give a kid all the skills in the world, you give a player all the skills in the world, but you leave the application of those skills up to the coaches, you got to have a lot of faith in those coaches. And the crazy thing is in this basketball world, there are so many coaches out here. So that's kind of a coin toss, right? Even worse than that, the only people who have the same coach for over 3 years are college players who decide to stay all four, but who's to say coach won't leave for a better opportunity? Maybe NBA players might have the same coach for 4 years, but how often is that the case now? There's always somebody getting fired. There's always somebody being hired. There's musical chairs up there. If they're a pro and they play overseas, they might not even be in the same country 2 years in a row. 2 years, they might be in one country for 4 months, be in another country for another 4 months, stay home for 6 months, right? And then be in another country. Forget about coaches. You won't even be in the, you won't even be speaking the same language. So it's like you are giving people this bag, quote unquote. Players are getting this bag, what to do when they have the, you know, what they should do when they have the basketball without really any real direction. How does it apply? How does it fit within an offense? How much space do they really have? You just got a bunch of guys out here, you know, doing cone work in games. And it's kind of weird to watch. You know what I'm saying? So let's address it. The first problem, especially if you're, you know, training lower level play, you're training kids, right? The first problem is that the player who came to you may not be playing for anyone in the first place. They may not have a coach in the first place. They may be coming to you because they're trying to make a team. So the IQ part would be missing altogether if you don't let them know why and when they should be doing what you're teaching them, right? They were trying to make the team in the first place. They don't have anyone to give them direction. They don't have anyone to say, hey, that's not going to work here. You have to do that. As a trainer, we have to do that. We can't just give you skills. If we just give you skills with no context, you know how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. You do not know how to play the piano at all. So the first thing is that some people might not have anyone to rely on. You are their coach. You got to provide that. The second problem is that if this player actually does have a coach or they do make that team, right? Now you have to rely on that coach being knowledgeable and willing to teach. Good luck getting both at the lower levels. Knowledgeable and willing to teach. It's difficult to find a coach that is both for many reasons. More than that, did you put that coach in a position where he or she now has to change their game plan and the structure of the team to now accommodate this person that you're training? The person you're training better be hella good, because now you got to make coach reconsider what he or she is doing. And what if they have three or four just like your player? I mean, sounds like a good problem to have, but you really want to put that on coach? If that person better be hella fired, that's all I'm saying. The third thing, most players think they know the purpose of their training, but they really don't. As far as basketball is concerned, simply talking about what takes place on the court, the purpose of your training is to lock down the skills that you need to perform your best, in addition to knowing when, how, and why to use those skills. It's like Kyrie Irving said, actually on many different occasions, you master the fundamentals so you can forget about them. It's not enough to simply gain new skills. You have to know when, where, and why to use those new skills. If you do not, then you will have wasted a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of your parents' money developing skills that you can't put into the game when it's actually needed, right? Unfortunately, on all levels of basketball, we're seeing this happen more and more. And it bothers me to point it out because it's not like I'm talking to lazy people. We're actually talking to the people that got up, put in the work, and develop these new skills. I'm not talking to somebody who just talks a lot. I'm talking about somebody who put in the work, right? But if you're putting in the work and it's not to make decisions, if you're putting in the work and it's not to see what's going on and understand what's going on and be aware of what's going on, if you're just like a phone to be picked up and to be used, put back down, if you're not really a decision maker with the skills you have, I mean, there are people who could, there's teams that could use you, but there's a real cap on how good you could be. Because when you're developing skills, it's not so you can show them off. When you're developing your skills, it's so that when you're in the game, you can make really good decisions, take advantage of a lot. Let's take ball handling, for example. If you have the ball on a string, it's literally like an extra arm. It's like a part of your body. The purpose of having that crazy handle is not so you can dance and show off that crazy handle. It's not so you can embarrass people. The point of having that crazy handle is now you can look at the game and not ever worry about the ball, the spacing, the defense. And you can clearly see what's going on behind the person who's guarding you. Knowing that the ball isn't going to go anywhere is a comfort that the majority of basketball players do not have. It's a reason why people who can handle the basketball for real, are exceptional. Then they stand out. People know who these guys are. They know who these girls are. Because handling the basketball is really tough. When you have it down to the point where you don't think about the ball, now you can see that guy cutting. Now you can see mismatches. And if the mismatch isn't there, you can create one because you're no longer worried about losing the ball to the person that's in front of you. When that double team is coming and that third player, you know, starts creeping over to take away first pass to create a steal, you'll be way ahead of it. Not because you saw it. Well, it'll be because you saw it. But the reason you were able to see it is because you're not worried about losing the basketball. See, there's a purpose. You don't just have the basketball on a string just to show everyone your brand new dribble moves. You have the basketball on a string so that way you can be effective on offense. It's a very, very different approach. Right? So if you go into your training and you don't understand with absolute clarity why you're doing what you're doing, it's going to haunt you when it matters most, because you will be basically put in the game and it'll be like a test that you are unprepared for. All of us have experience. We all have this experience where we studied for a test for 2 weeks. The test came, and then we accused the teacher of not preparing us for the test because it's like the questions that we were being asked, we didn't get any of those over the past 2 weeks. But once you go over that test that following Monday, right? Because you get tested on Friday. That's, at least that's how we did it in my time. You go back to class that following Monday and we review the test. The questions were just asked a different way, or you were given a different scenario to see how well you grasped the concept and how well you were able to manipulate what you've been taught to come up with these new answers. The frustration that we all had, now that we're adults, we can admit it. The frustration that we all had is that we thought we were going to get questions that were extremely close to the practice questions that we got for the previous 2 weeks. But that wouldn't test how well you grasped what you were learning. That would only test how well you can regurgitate what you memorized. And as kids, we hated that. But as adults, we get an opportunity to see, damn, I really didn't learn it the way I wanted to, the way I should have. I was just memorizing stuff through repetition in order to give it back on test day. We were learning how to play a song as opposed to how to play the instrument. It's a very different approach. So if you find yourself constantly accumulating skills, I'm not even going to tell you to stop. You should be accumulating skills. You should be getting better at, you know, what the game calls for. But you have to demand the IQ portion, the when, the where, the why. And once you start understanding that, you'll be able to better prioritize what you're learning. For so many of us, it would be far better to learn how to effectively backdoor cut. Sounds simple, right? It would be far superior for us to learn how to backdoor cut effectively than it would be for us to do a punch, pound, sidestep into a MIDI. It would be far more effective for us to learn how to run the floor effectively, how to fill the lanes, whether we have a 2-on-1, 3-on-2, 4-on-3, 5-on-4, 5-on-3. It'd be far more effective for us to learn how to fill the lanes effectively than it would be to hit somebody with a certain combination dribble into a layup. When it comes to, and this is just a freebie, If you want to get a lot of buckets, study the greatest scorers and you'll come to find out that they got more easy ones than you would ever imagine. We only remember the difficult shots, but they got a ton of easy ones. So if you want to average a lot of points, you get as many easy ones as possible and you learn those skills. But that's free on the side. You know, you got that one for free today. But overall, for a lot of you, your training is hurting you. And it's hurting you because you really don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You just like it. I appreciate y'all spending this time. Thank you for spending this time. Thank you for listening in. For real, like, it means a lot to me. I want you to share this with somebody that you know, because you know somebody that could use this and, you know, make good use of this. But as usual, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me. And for real, I do appreciate that. Y'all be good.